Larson puts on a masterful performance at Bristol Motor Speedway. And up next, NASCAR returns to the Rock. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Always glad to have you be a part of Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, joined in studio, thrilled to have both of these folks here, by PRN's Alexis Erickson, and Kyle Petty is on loan to us from his charity ride, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. The last time I saw a sporting event this lopsided, I think was the most recent Super Bowl when Philly ran Kansas City out of the gym and won by 100 points. Alexis, it was really never in doubt, much after they dropped the green flag at Bristol, that Kyle Larson was going to be victorious.
Yeah, I mean, when you lead 411 laps, that pretty much puts the stamp on it, you know. And it was shades of what we saw in the fall when he led 400, I think 460 something laps. So it's quite obvious that right now Bristol is lopsided in the Cup Series, and it's lopsided in Kyle Larson's favor.
And Kyle seems to own the place. He's won three, I think, out of the last six races there. Is this all Kyle Larson, Kyle Petty, or is this Kyle Larson and the juggernaut that is Hendrick Motorsports?
So maybe a little bit of both. You know, let's go back to when Kyle Busch owned it. Remember, he owned it forever and ever.
Won eight races there, but
he won with Hendrick. He won with Gibbs. He won with a little bit of everybody. But I think if you look at, let's go back to Darlington and the performance that William Byron put in down there, and the dominant performance for the first two segments, and then really threw the race away at the end with a strategy call. But at the same time, I think it's a little bit of both. We've seen this through the years, okay, at Bristol, and let's really talk about it. We go back to Cale Yarborough's dominance, to Darrell Waltrip's dominance. Let's go back to Kyle Busch's dominance, to Kyle Larson's dominance. Mm-hmm. It's just that type of racetrack that somebody seems to hit it. And no matter what I used to say that about my dad. You could take him to Daytona in a shoebox and he's going to run the top five because he just enjoyed the place and loved it so much. These guys seem to enjoy Bristol so much, they just look forward to it.
So if we've seen this domination at Bristol on a number of occasions, like you just mentioned, why is the expectation different there? Why is it that we want to see, or we expect to see, a more parity in that race?
So this is Kyle. Okay. So if we go back to Darrell winning there 10 or 15 times, or Cale winning there 10 or 15 times, or Kyle Busch is eight and Kyle Larson, we're taking a third of the races. Five or six guys have won a third of the races up there, almost, when you start looking at it. I mean, and that's probably an exaggeration, don't get me wrong. The anomalies are Earnhardt rattling a cage. The anomalies are when we get a close race. But that's what we compare it to. We compare the mainstream and the day-to-day of people just going up there and kicking your butt six ways from Sunday to the anomalies. And it's a short track, so we expect beating and bashing. And we're not getting it right now. We're not getting it with this car at this racetrack. We get it at Martinsville, but only when people are willing to step over the line and run over people. We don't get the beating and bashing. We just get the people wrecking each other. And we didn't have that at Bristol.
I vividly remember going to Bristol as a fan, sitting in the stands with some of my family, going up there to root for you and your dad when you were both running bright orange and blue cars.
Yes.
And I think, no shame here, I think you lasted a total of 50 laps between the two of you.
Yes.
And Cale Yarborough led every lap or thereabouts. And I thought, even at that time, and that was supposed to be the magic time of Bristol, I drove back home going like, well, that wasn't great. And you may be onto something. The dominant performance may be the real reality of that place.
Yes, it has been for a number of years. If we go back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I mean, it really was. But it has that reputation because of the night race. The night race was the anomaly at the time. Remember, they had a night race. Nobody else really had a night race. You saw the sparks. You saw the brakes glowing. You saw the sparks when they get into the wall. There was so much excitement just in a lap to lap. And there's still that excitement. You just don't see it as much with this car and in this day and time as we used to.
I going to give credit to PRN's co-anchor Mark Garrow. I saw this tweet he put out. I'm just going to read it word for word. Kyle Larson has swept both the stages and the races, the last two there. He has led 873 laps out of a possible 1,000. By the way, it was his second win this year, 31st of his career. Hendrick Motorsports' 315th victory.
And he was only one spot shy of getting the weekend sweep,
right.
Yeah. By the way, because he finished second in the truck race, and he absolutely dominated and won the Xfinity
race. Yeah, and you know what? And I'm going to go back. I think when Kyle Busch did it, we just expected it. Yeah. When Kyle Larson didn't do it and we expected it, it makes Kyle Busch's accomplishments in sweeping that look so much bigger.
Yeah.
So much bigger. And I think we just took Kyle Busch for granted at that time that he just come in and win all the time. But that was a special time.
I think Kyle Larson has the ability, though, to do one of these triple header sweeps.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's been
dangerously close twice already.
I think he will. Yeah. And, it's a matter of time.
Just keep entering him until you run out of chances. So I could see that. The other odd thing about this race, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it was the most scintillating motorsports event of all time, can't do that, was the lack of cautions.
Yeah.
One caution for cause when Shane Van Gisbergen and I think maybe Cody Ware got together. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Outside of two cautions for the end of stages. That part was a little hard to get a hold of.
And I think that's really the only reason, too, why Kyle Larson didn't lead more laps because of that green flag pit cycle at the end. And Ryan Blaney stayed out really long. And so he led some of the laps that, you know, had we seen more cautions, there's a good chance potentially he would have led more laps.
But. So let me say this, and this has been this way for a long time in the sport, and I just want you to think about it this way. It's hard for me to wrap my head around going to a half-mile racetrack, fastest half-mile in the world, greatest half-mile, the Coliseum and all this, and we have no cautions and we don't tear up any cars, but we go to Daytona and we annihilate two-thirds of the field.
Right.
And have massive cautions at Daytona and Talladega. That's not the way the sport used to be. The sport has 180 degrees different than where it was in the 70s and even in the 80s. When we went to Bristol, there were cars riding around out there that had no front fenders, no hood, no front end. They're just making laps trying to get points because they've been in accidents. Things have happened. You've had cautions. You have broke motors. You have things. And everybody came back from Daytona, it seemed like, with a car in one piece that they just put a wax job on and took back to the next race the next time they went back. Now it's exactly the opposite from the way it used to be.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're 100% right. And I feel like, too, part of the reason we don't see maybe as many cautions, this car is more resilient.
Yeah.
It hangs together well. They have some work to do still on the short track package. It's still not showing up. This particular generation of cars is not performing to what NASCAR would like to see at the Richmonds and the North Wilkesboros and the Bristols and the Martinsville.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not lobbying for this. Let me say this: the car's not performing the way it should be. But with the EFI, with the engine management system and everything that's on these cars right now, they don't blow up. They don't blow. Used to, you'd go to Bristol, somebody would blow up oil down the racetrack and take out seven or eight cars. Now, I'm not lobbying for that. I'm not lobbying for oil on the racetrack in a slick racetrack. But nobody breaks an engine anymore. You know, it's a rarity when we see anyone, and we saw the 48 car yesterday, Alex Bowman. But the engine shuts itself down before it breaks any parts. Before it really starts to come out the bottom, it shuts itself down. My God, that's a golden parachute for a driver. You don't hit the wall hard at all when these things blow up anymore. And I think that's part of it too. You don't have the cars sturdy enough that it doesn't break when you get in the wall, and nothing breaks anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you think specifically about like the Coca-Cola 600, how that used to be the test of man and machine. And now it's still the test of man, certainly. But when it comes to the machine, we just don't, you know, the way that they've built these cars, you just don't see that anymore.
No, attrition from mechanical reasons.
Yeah.
Is almost zero now.
Yeah.
It's minimal.
It's funny when you look back, when you go back to the 1968 or 1977 or 78 World 600, Coca-Cola 600, but it's World 600, and it's like a third of the field, driver got tired.
You know what I mean? Right.
Car exhaustion.
I mean, there's so many excuses, transmissions, axles, there's a litany of excuses or reasons on why cars out. And now you might get the 38th and 37th person who had trouble or something happened, and everybody else is running at the end.
Yeah, you may see attrition, but it's from accidents.
Yes.
It's not by car.
And even those are
way,
few and far between.
So impressive run by Kyle Larson. Go on, 411 laps led. Two wins already this season. He's locked into the playoffs. When we get to our next segment, we're going to talk about who else is going to get to the show. There have been not a lot of winners this year. We'll break that down, too. It's a very select group, and really, I guess, three organizations, if you include Josh Berry being a Penske. Let's give you that Toyota performance report. There were some Toyotas that did okay. They didn't lead a lot of laps. Denny Hamlin finished second. Pretty good run for him. Ty Gibbs. Salute, Ty Gibbs. Third place run, second week in a row, Alexis.
They needed that.
That Ty has shown up and been in the race. Didn't win, but from the disastrous start of the year, where it looked like, is this boy broken?
They've had three races in a row where they're trending in the right direction. And that's great for that team.
Chase Briscoe finished fourth in the Bass Pro Shops Toyota. Christopher Bell in the Ream Toyota. Tyler Reddick, 18th, 19th to Bubba Wallace. John Hunter Nemechek was 21st. Eric Jones, 26th. And 28th for Riley Herbst in the Lucy Toyota. That is your Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo Racing information, visit TGRNA.com.
This is the sound of a Toyota Cup car. And this is the sound of a Toyota Top Fuel Dragster. This is the sound of a Toyota GR Supra deep in a drift. And this is the sound of Denny Hamlin celebrating after stuffing the competition. You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. And I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Everything's bigger in Texas, including the racing action.
Now one car in the wall is Christopher Bell, hits it hard. Everybody else scrambles to avoid trouble in Texas. Caution is out.
Turn number two, it is Josh Berry. He gets sideways, slides up against the outside wall.
McDowell loses it, big time. The field coming right at him. McDowell tries to hold on to the race car. Everybody scrambles to get out of the way.
It's the Worth 400 from Texas Motor Speedway. Sunday, May 4th at 2:30 Eastern on PRN. Saturday, May 3rd.
Start your engine!
The NASCAR Xfinity Series heads to Texas Motor Speedway.
I love tap in turn two. I love tap in turn three. Custer doing all he can to take that number one spot away from Mayer. They draw even again in turn one.
Ryan Sieg moving all over the racetrack. Upside, downside, trying to block Justin Allgaier.
It's the Andy's Frozen Custard 300. Saturday, May 3rd at 1:30 Eastern on the Performance Racing Network.
Believe it or not, we have completed nine races in the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series season. And let's go take a look at the leaderboard and find out who's performing, because we've had enough sample size now to think maybe these are trends. William Byron has one race win. It's a biggie. He won down at Daytona and got his W there. Denny Hamlin had a couple of wins back-to-back. Christopher Bell had that memorable streak where he ran off three wins in a row. Kyle Larson has a pair of wins. Then you go all the way down to the guy that's 17th in points. He doesn't care because he's in the playoffs, and that is Josh Berry. And those are the people that have won races. Five drivers total have won the first nine races. Alexis, like I said, I think we're getting to a point that we have a pretty good sample size to base how well people are going to perform. I'll ask for two, but give me one right now. Give me one driver left that's not one that's an absolute mortal 100% lock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad that you came to me first, because I think when you talk about absolute 100% mortar locks, there's only really one person that comes to mind for me right away, and that's Ryan Blaney, because he has been super fast week in and week out. Circumstances have kept him out of victory lane, but that team comes every week. They're fast. They're a part of the story, and they will win. And I happen to think it's going to be soon when that happens. But they are a mortal lock, in my opinion, to win this season.
All right, Ryan Blaney currently sixth in points, so safely inside the playoff realm. Okay, Kyle Petty, choice. Give me one. You throw away the key. This is done. This driver's winning.
Okay, you couldn't tell it by yesterday because I think he got lapped within 15 laps. but I'm going to go with Joey Logano.
Yeah.
Because I think if we go back to Daytona, if we go back to Atlanta, if we go back to some of the early races, even though they haven't performed the way I know they want to, they've been in the hunt for a few races this year. Now, they've been completely out of the hunt for a few races this year. But this is a team, he and Paul Wolf, I don't think you can keep them down. I just don't. They have a way of finding their way to the front at some point in time during the year and making themselves relevant once they get to the playoffs. And that's all they have to do to make the playoffs.
All right, so we've got a Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano. Both of these look like the other two Team Penske Fords that are absolute locks to make the playoffs. Alexis, give me one more. It seems like the two beauty queens have been picked here.
Locks to make the playoffs or
locks
to get to victory?
Win.
Okay.
Get
I just
want
to make sure I know exactly what we're doing. So some people might find this pick to be a little bit crazy, but they have been running better than what we expect them to run on ovals. And we know that they run really, really well on road courses. That's AJ Allmendinger. I honestly think that AJ Allmendinger. What is this?
That's me choking right now.
Okay,
let's
just hope AJ doesn't choke.
I'm kidding you.
I'm serious. I think they are running beyond what we expected for Colleague to be running this season, and I think that momentum is going to keep going, and I think we could definitely see him win on a road course.
I admire the boldness of that pick, Alexis. Went outside the convention and the norms.
The good thing about this show is that nobody checks my work later. So
flag that show.
That's my girl right there. That's my girl.
Nobody's going to come back and say, she said.
I think we made the fact that you pointed that out.
Darn.
We will not forget that.
Yes.
All right. Kyle, aside from Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, AJ Allmendinger, who is now the new Shane Van Gisbergen, I believe, then. That came out wrong. Who is the second guy that you know will win a race this year that has not?
So I'm going to say Tyler Reddick. I think Tyler, I know. But I think Tyler, just because, I'd love to say Carson Hocevar.
Yeah.
I would love to say Chris Buescher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to put themselves, I thought Spire Motorsports did a phenomenal job of putting two cars in the top five and then two cars
they
in
did.
The top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And a bad pit stop is the only thing that relegated Carson outside of it. But I go back to the teams, and if you look at the teams and you look at some of the statistics on where their pit crews rank, how many positions they pick up on pit road, they just put themselves in position. They just put themselves – they were in position yesterday. We talked about Blaney. If they had caught a caution and Reddick had caught a caution at that time, boom, they're back in the race, and they're in the catbird seat. So they have that strategy. They have that extra team member. What I mean by that is they have that extra layer that they can depend on that gets them up front. So they'll win a race.
Do you know what I think is the most interesting part of this segment is the driver that we didn't mention? Can you?
Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
But yesterday.
A pox upon your houses.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yesterday, while they were running first, second, and fifth, he was like 18th.
Yes.
He was 18th. And
I just don't get that vibe from him.
You just don't get that vibe. And listen, I'll say it. You just don't get that vibe that he cares. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No.
And I mean, when you interview and stuff, but I'm going to go back to your AJ pick. It's so funny. I looked at this piece of paper yesterday when the race was over with from the points, and I thought, you know what? The top 15 in points are the top 15 in points. I don't see anybody. Obviously, Barry has won, and he'll be up in there. But I don't see anybody below that being a contender.
Yeah.
And we talk all the time. 40 cars can win this race.
No, they can't.
Any given. But I don't see that. I just don't see that in this day and time.
I kind of huffed when you said Tyler Reddick because
I know.
He seems to be everybody's sleeper pick yeah. every week. Somebody will go, Tyler Reddick, he's yeah. a lock. No, he's still sleeping.
Yeah, he is. But he's like, and I'll go back to this. He's, in my mind, he's like SVG. He's like Allmendinger. There are racetracks that he just rises to the occasion mm-hmm. And they've got the car and the team to capitalize on that, where yeah. some of these other teams don't.
Thanks a lot for tuning in to Fast Talk. We're brought to you by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. We're going to do yes and no on wins. We gave you the locks. Is anybody else going to win? We'll find that out. And we'll talk about Rockingham coming up.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinger on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Now to decide who else is going to get a win in the 2025 season now that we're nine races down. In our last segment, Alexis Erickson went Ryan Blaney and AJ Allmendinger. So now we have seven wins, including the five that have actually happened. Kyle Petty went Joey Logano and Tyler Reddick. So I'm just going to ask you guys names of drivers that have not won. Pretty simple answer. Yes or no, they're going to win. If you want to give an explanation, that is optional. Kyle's already said Tyler will win. He's off the board. Alexis Bubba Wallace, does he win this year?
I'm going to say yes. And the reason why, the past few weeks haven't been that great, but he started off the season a lot stronger than he has in any other season, in my opinion. And I think they're going to get back to that. I think you could see him win. Kansas is the first track that comes to mind for me.
Not a ringing endorsement, kind of like when the general manager says, yes, this guy's going to coach here forever. Kyle, Bubba, does he win it? Does he get a W?
So I'm going to say no.
No?
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say... As we look at William Byron and we look at Denny and we look at Christopher Bell, these are guys that can win week in and week out every single week. When you start looking at the season and saying there's 36 races and I can only win five of them and you've got to put all your eggs in those baskets for five, that's tough. That's a tough thing to do, so I'm going to say no.
I don't know if Bubba wins this year. He makes the playoffs, because
his
pit crew is lights out. So they're doing a job. Kyle, let's stay with you. Alex Bowman.
Listen, so I take heat every year for this. I don't know how Bowman finds his way to the playoffs, but he always finds his way. And he wins two or three races. I mean, he's won two or three races at some point in time. Set on the pole yesterday, obviously. Run decent at Phoenix, some of these places. I'm going to say yes, that he wins a race because of the Hendrick organization. I'm going to say yes, that he at some point in time on a mile and a half racetrack, he wins a race.
Alexis Erickson, the fate of the 48.
Yeah. Well, my gut is telling me to say yes, but I don't know. It's so hard. It is so
hard. It's hard with him.
Yeah, it really is. These are hard questions. I'm going to say yes.
These are hard questions.
Yeah, hard-hitting questions.
Yes.
All right. Let's go. We'll stay with you, Alexis.
Okay.
Ross Chastain, who does a masterful job, by the way, on PRN as an analyst.
He does. He does a fantastic job on our air. We're going to have him lots more throughout the season. But I have to say no. I'm saying no.
Ooh.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like there are some internal struggles right now happening at Trackhouse. There are weeks that I don't even know Daniel Suarez is on the racetrack. Right. You know, now Ross has been able to kind of eke out these top 10 finishes, but they just don't have the speed, I feel like, to break through into the winner's column right now. So
I'm going to say no also, but for a couple of reasons. A, they don't have the speed. They're not showing up with speed.
Yep.
When they were winning races and running up front and doing the Ross Chastain that we know he can be, they had speed when they showed up. They're not showing up straight across the board. And I think part of that is obviously there's a remix going on over there corporate-wise or whoever they are. But also, and I said it here in the break, three cars are the kiss of death. You can run two cars and you can run four cars. When you get that third car just takes away. And by adding Shane, I think it takes a little bit away. Whether you think it does or not, I think it takes away.
The dreaded K-O-D. Chris Buescher, Alexis.
Yes, I do think Chris Buescher could win. You know, and for that matter, I'll throw it out there too. Ryan Preece has impressed me this season. And they have three cars. So, you know, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, Chris.
They have two cars because Kyle,
Keselowski is out to lunch.
Not showing up right now.
That's true.
Kyle, take that as a twofer. Ryan Preece, Chris Buescher.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about Ryan, but I'm going to say Chris for sure. I think Ryan has shown flashes. But I think this is Ryan's first opportunity really to be in a car. And I know he was at SHR, whatever SHR was the last few years. I know he was over there, but this is his first opportunity to be in the car and see the front of the field consistently. And he has put himself in position. But I just think Chris Buescher, he's that underrated guy, that quiet Texan like Terry Labonte who just falls in. And if he could ever hit like once or twice, I think he would be off to the races.
Well, he got that hot streak a couple of seasons ago where
he won three out of
five. Yeah. And, you know, you thought, well, this is the new thing that's happening here. A guy that we've talked a lot about on this show. Kyle, we'll start with you. Kyle Busch.
No. His days are done. I just don't think they can. I think we saw at COTA that he still has the talent and can carry a car, and he can carry it. The problem is they're asking him to carry it from 12th to the win. If you ask him to carry it from third or fourth to the win, I think he can. But he can't carry it through a third of the field. And I think that's not a knock on his talent. I just do not believe that Richard Childress Racing, that those cars are where they need to be. They're not on scale with where the Hendrick or the Gibbs or the Penske's are. They're more on scale, more in line with where Ross is, where Trackhouse is. So, you know, they're good. Don't get me wrong. And they're capable of running up front. I just don't think they're capable of winning right now.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Kyle. I'm going to say no.
That makes me sad.
I know.
It makes me sad. Made me sad last year.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when he didn't win last year, it was because that's something that once you win that first race and you look, you don't think about going 15, 16, 20 years, whatever it is.
No.
It just happens. And when it's there and you know it's there, that's it's sad to see it walk away.
And you never know when that last
that's
win
right.
is going to come.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to bundle a bunch of drivers here. This is like
progressive.
Yeah. We're not talking about Denny Hamlin, though.
Okay, Flo.
Yeah. No, I'm the other guy.
You're Jamie?
Jamie.
Yeah. I am really good. Him in real life. I am that annoying person that you just want to smack.
I can confirm. No, yeah. Just kidding.
No, oh my goodness. Wow. Oh, we have lost the show.
Yeah. We're loose in the corners here. I'm going to give you a bunch of drivers. One thing all of these people have in common, they have all actually won a NASCAR Cup Series race. So, hold on, though.
So you're giving us the bunch. Are we saying the group will collectively win or one out of the group?
You can pick either way you want. You can say none of these people will win, or you can say I'll take that one.
Okay.
You can go a la carte, or you can buy the bundle. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Michael McDowell, Austin Cindric, Justin Haley, he did win a race, Austin Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski, Shane Van Gisbergen, Cole Custer. All of them have actually won NASCAR Cup Series races. Alexis, what do you think? Let me give them to you again. Stenhouse, McDowell, Cindric, Haley, Austin Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski, Shane Van Gisbergen, Cole Custer. I'm giving you all of these in a bundle. Can one of these people get a W this year?
No. I don't know.
No.
I'm sorry. I want to pick one name out of that group and say, yes, I think this. I mean, Cindric. Well, you throw in a Talladega, and sure, any one of them could.
Yeah.
But just off of pure speed and performance, I don't know, man.
Kyle, you got your bundle here. If I was in Vegas and that was on the board to win a race, I would bet the group. I think one, who it is, I don't know.
You're right. If it was on the board and you said, okay, I can take that group for, 100-1 or 50-1, whatever you want to do. Yeah, I would take the group. I would take the group because you do have Talladega.
That's 10 drivers.
Yeah, you do have Talladega. And you do have Ricky Stenhouse is good at Talladega. Mm-hmm. Cindric's good at Daytona and Talladega. There's Eric Jones. Those guys ran up front.
Haley.
He won. Yeah, Haley. Yeah. Eric almost won one of the qualifying races when we go back to it. So you look at that. Then you look at the road courses, and you throw in Shane, and you throw in some of that stuff on the road courses. And I think you have to look at it and say, yes, I would take one of them to win. So I'm gonna say yes. If I look at these teams on pure performance, compare them to the guys who have won the first nine races, then I'm going to say, no, there's not enough Sundays in a year for these guys to win a race.
And that's,
okay?
And that's
there's
the
just
thing.
Not enough Sundays.
If you put the caveat of Talladega, Super Speedway, road course, then sure, yes.
Dangle that carrot out there.
Yeah.
But I don't. Last thing in this segment, we have five different winners right now, I believe, in nine races.
Correct.
10 is the over-under. Are we going under this season for winners, 10 or over?
What happened to the years when we were like, we're going to go 19, we're going to go 20?
Yeah. A winner is going to be shut out of the playoffs.
Yes.
I am going to go over, but not by much.
Over what?
10.
Over 10. So what's like 10 and a half? Is that not much? I mean, what are you saying? What are you saying?
I'm thinking probably more like 11, 12, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to say, wow. You know what? I'm just going to say it's going to be one of these streak years like this. So I'm going to say no.
You're taking 10. The under.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take the under.
Curious how it changes because, we're usually talking about 27 different winners in eight races.
But we've seen that. This is a sport of streaks, and we have seen these streaks already raise their head this year with Christopher Bell and with Denny Hamlin taking five of these races so far.
I think this is the first time with the next-gen car we're finally going to see the big teams with their big fat notebooks, be the ones that are.
I'm going to add one last thing here. And I read this yesterday, and this was fascinating. Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson, did you see this, have run first and second seven times in their career. And this is the first time that Kyle Larson has won. This is the first one.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
that's
now,
a great stat.
So when I look at that, and I'm going to say this, we try to manufacture rivalries sometimes. Richard Petty and David Pearson ran first and second 62 times. Pearson won most of them. I'll go ahead and throw that out. He won most of them. But 62 times creates a rivalry.
Yeah.
7, 8, 10 times, you begin to have a little bit of a rivalry. And it has nothing to do with punching people in the face or wrecking people on the racetrack. It is a pure rivalry on the racetrack when you run first
and second. That's two high-performing teams going at each other. Coming up, NASCAR returns to the Sand Hills of North Carolina.
Race fans, get ready. Nashville's NASCAR Night Race is coming your way. Three nights, three action-packed races. May 30th through June 1st, the stars of NASCAR battle under the lights at Nashville Super Speedway. It all starts Friday with the Rackley Roofing 200 Craftsman Truck Series, followed by the Tennessee Lottery 250 Xfinity Series Showdown on Saturday, and then Sunday night is the NASCAR Cup Series under the primetime lights. Don't miss your shot to witness NASCAR history in Music City and rub shoulders with all the Nashville stars. Get tickets now at NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com.
Hey folks, it's Doug Rice. Did you know you can take PRN with you anywhere? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live races just about any place on the planet, and you will not miss a second of the action. Plus, you can hear our shows like the fantastic editions of Fast Talk, plus Brett McMillan on the Pit Reporters and Mark Garrow with Garage Fast. Get all the latest racing information right at your fingertips. The PRN mobile app, available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. If you want a show with no limits on opinions, join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It proves that these guys are of the elite motorsports level. Being able to win the way that he did, I think, means even more that there weren't any fenders being put to anybody. And for those guys to show what they can do to race cleanly on a road course, they've certainly proved what they can do.
We're starting to see the top competitors become top road course racers.
Join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
It's Fast Talk here on the Performance Racing Network. I'm Doug Rice. To my right, immediate right, is Alexis Erickson. To her right is Kyle Petty. And we're so thrilled that you are tuned in. NASCAR goes back to the past again this coming weekend as the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the Truck Series will race at the track formerly known as North Carolina Motor Speedway. You know, in the Bible, it says, "You are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church." There's a hint in there, by the way. Rock. For 18 years, the song by Bob Seger, "Like a Rock," helped sell Chevrolet Silverados. Pretty good tune, and I guess a pretty good truck if they kept it for 18 years. The Rolling Stones, one of their favorite songs that I like is "I Know It's Only What?
Rock and Roll.
But I Like It. I Love It. Yes, I Do." And in wrestling, the now-named Dwayne Johnson was famous for this phrase.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
You could almost smell it, couldn't you? You knew he was cooking up something bad there. My beloved Appalachian State football team plays in a stadium that is nicknamed, you guessed it, The Rock. I spent 3 days last week in the beautiful little North Carolina town of Blowing Rock. By the way, the Story Street Grill has maybe the best meatloaf on the planet. So if you're fortunate enough to get to Blowing Rock, stop by there. Tell them I sent you. I don't get a kickback. I wish I did. Blue Jean Baby Queen, prettiest girl I've ever seen. See her shake on a movie screen. Jimmy Dean, James Dean. Rock on. And, of course, in the movie by the same name, we get this famous line uttered by Sean Connery.
Welcome to The Rock.
You know what The Rock was in that case? Alcatraz.
Yes.
A great movie, by the way, where he sticks his head out and utters that line. All of that to say this. We return to The Rock in Rockingham, North Carolina, a track that I thought had gone the way of the dodo. But you can bring the dodo back now because they're bringing back dire wolves from extinction.
Yes, saw that.
Have none of these people watched Jurassic Park?
I know.
I don't know.
It didn't turn out so well.
I don't know. I called him up to see if they could clone Richard Petty. So I just want to go ahead and throw that out there.
Do they have his DNA?
I'm going to start a team.
Do they have Is DNA stuck in a mosquito that's in a piece of ammo somewhere?
But dire wolves, that's the thing you're bringing back as a big, vicious, meat-eating animal?
Yeah.
How about the passenger pigeon or the Carolina parakeet? Right.
How about Marilyn Monroe?
How about it?
I'm just thinking something to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, so, I just thought I'd throw that
But
out there.
We get dire wolves, and if you ever watch Game of Thrones, those things are vicious. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we are bringing back The Rock. And I've got to start with Kyle Petty here. Kyle, this was kind of your playground in the early 90s. You won there in 90, 91, and 92. And a couple of them, you look like Kyle Larson.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pre-Kyle Larson.
You were Kyle Larson before there was a Kyle Larson.
I do not know why. But that was from the time I ran there, my first race in 79 or 80, probably 80. I just like that racetrack. And I bring it up in here a lot when we talk about it. Some drivers just fit certain racetracks. That place, Dover, there were a couple of racetracks that I just fit. But listen, when they went away from there, the sport was market racing. We decided we were going to Chicago and Kansas and Texas and L.A. and all these markets. And they just sent that market down the road. Having said that, there were a lot of racetracks within 150 miles of Charlotte, too. You know, where you ran.
Right.
Yeah. There were 10 races that we actually, from Level Cross, North Carolina, stayed at home at night when we would race them. We didn't even get hotel rooms. That's how close we were to home. So to come back to The Rock is really, really important for those people in that community. And I think it's going to be cool for the sport.
Alexis, what do you think of this trend? And I feel like it is a trend because it's seen over and over again that NASCAR is going back to its past to pave a way to the future. We saw them go back to
North Wilkesboro
and Bowman Gray, mm-hmm. and now it's Rockingham.
Well, I mean, I think they're trying to cater to two audiences, right? They're trying to cater to their diehard fans, the one that have been around and supported them and loved them for years and years and years, and their roots and tradition. But they're also trying to cater to, you know, the potential new fan and international markets with the race in Mexico City. So they're trying to, you know, kind of be on both sides as much as you can. And I think they're striking a pretty good balance, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's that nostalgia piece that we all go back to. It's the same reason that Ford came back with the Mustang and Chevy came back with the Camaro and Dodge came back with the Charger. You're hearkening back 20 or 30 years. And these new fans want to see what Rockingham was about, want to see what Wilkesboro was about, want to see what these old racetracks are about. And the advantage that we have in this day and time is even though you only put 30 or 40,000 people in the grandstands, you can put 2.5 million people on TV watching. And that's something that we didn't have really to this degree whenever they left the sport.
As we record this show here in the PRN studios, it's midday Monday.
Yes.
What kind of crowd are we going to see for the big show Saturday? They're not racing on Easter Sunday. They'll race on Saturday with the Xfinity Series. Are we going to go, that looks great?
I think we will. I mean, I think when you think about, you know, North Wilkesboro, the coming back and the anticipation and the excitement that drew, especially the first event that they had there, I think you're probably going to have something similar to that as well. And I don't know. You guys probably know better than I do, but I'm not sure that place holds many people either.
Well, they called back a lot of stuff.
To have a good-looking crowd, I don't think that the bar is super high.
Yeah, and here's I look at it too a little bit different. I don't really care how many people show up. Okay, I just care about the race. Is it going to be a good race? If they have a good race, I think the people will come. They don't necessarily have to come. You're going to get a lot of local people come this first time. Remember, this is an Xfinity race and a truck race.
Right.
We don't have Kyle Larson. We don't have Denny Hamlin. We don't have the superstars, even though some of them are going to probably fill in. And the other thing, and I'm going to say this. Said it my whole life, two days you don't mess with in the South, Easter weekend and Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's just not a great, it's not a great time for families.
I think they dodged the bullet, though, by going Friday and Saturday.
Oh, yeah, they do a little bit.
By the way, Casey Kane will be
back.
Yep.
Are we excited about that?
I think that'll be huge.
He's dreamy.
He's dreamy.
That's good. That's good.
Who doesn't love dreamy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he is.
I'll be excited to see. I mean, he's been racing.
He's been racing. That's right. It's not like he just disappeared from a race car. It's not. So he's been in race cars and stuff. And listen, I look forward to, And I was down there probably 3 or 4 months ago looking around the racetrack. They had done a tremendous amount of work. It's just, it looks great. Everything looks great. I'm interested to see if the racetrack races the same way it did, where you could run low, you could run high, you could run in the middle. We talk about it all the time, racing and racing in multiple grooves. It's going to be interesting to see.
I think
where
we'll see
at.
Good shows because yes. It's Xfinity and Truck.
Oh, yeah.
And this year they seem to be the better shows. Kyle Petty's getting ready to hop on his motorcycle. We'll talk about that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside. Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Alexis Erickson here with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty. And we're thrilled to chat with Kyle now about what is going to be the 29th Kyle Petty charity ride across America. Kyle, I want to ask a bunch of questions, actually. But my first question is, what all goes into planning these rides? Because there's so much detail that seems like is involved.
So and you should have Morgan on here and not me.
I should. You're right.
She knows everything. I don't know anything. So this is what I tell people is the ride basically you plan. It starts. We'll come home middle of May. She'll take about a month and a half off, and we start planning the next ride or start contacting hotels and cities and people like that. The 1st of July. Because you've got to plan that far ahead. It's basically, it's like I tell people, it's like having, when you do a charity golf tournament, it's like having three charity golf tournaments a day for 7 days in a row.
In all different places.
In a different place every day.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I mean, that's how, logistically, that's how much she has to do. So it's crazy contacting local police. And right down to getting Port-a-Johns.
Okay? Sure.
Yeah, you got to get Port-a-Johns when you pull in. You know, you pull in a gas station, they've only got two. Then you got to go order another 14 or 15 because we bring in 250 people at a fuel stop. So it's that kind of thing.
Well, I was kind of curious because, you know, obviously we've heard about the charity ride and love to promote it for several years. But when you think about 225 participants, 1,400 miles, that's just the participants. How many people do you guys travel that aren't actually even in the ride? Like you have medical staff and you have...
We have two orthopedic surgeons and two nurses that go with us. We also have three or four paramedics that ride in the pack with us in case anything happens. So you have your own medical team. We have seven or eight retired state patrolmen from North Carolina and from California around the country that go with us. Have our own luggage team. That's the coolest part for me. You get up in the morning and take your luggage down and put it in a truck, and then when you get to the hotel, it's already in your room. You don't even have to. You don't carry it. You know what I mean? I mean, we're lazy. We're bikers, baby. We're bikers. So so you have a hotel group. So when you come into a hotel, you just walk up to a lobby just like you would this desk, and they give you your key. You go to your room, and that's it. So we have another 50 or 60 people that are part of it. But it's well organized. Morgan looks after all that. I'm very fortunate. All I have to do is ride a motorcycle, and that's all I really want to do.
Well, you get to do that, but you also get to greet lots of awesome people that come to all the different stops that you have, and that's all planned out. People can go on KylePettyCharityRide.com, where you're going to be stopping.
Thank you for that. Yes.
And that's very cool too for the riders.
Yeah, you can if you go to KylePettyCharityRide.com or Facebook, Instagram, and X, wherever. We've got a list. We're leaving Traverse City, Michigan on May 3rd. We're going to Detroit, spend the night. The next day we're getting up and we're going to spend all morning, 4 or 5 hours in the Henry Ford Museum, which is going to be cool because I love the Henry Ford Museum. They've got the chair that Lincoln was assassinated in, the car that Kennedy was assassinated in. They've got the truck or the bus that Rosa Parks. I mean, they've got a lot of Americana, a lot of history there. It's not just automotive. We're going to leave there. Dougie, we're going
to
leave
we
there.
To?
Cleveland. And the next day, we're going to spend 4 hours in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, baby. So that's the next day. Then we're going up to Niagara Falls and spend a couple of days in Niagara Falls. We were going to Canada and buy some stuff, but the tariffs are so high, we're not going over to Canada to buy anything. That's a political statement.
I realize that.
So then we're going to spend a couple of days there, and we're going to Corning and we're going to make a lap around Watkins Glen. And go to the Corning Museum of Glass, which is a phenomenal place.
Awesome place. Fantastic.
Then we're coming down to Bedford, Pennsylvania, spend the night there at the Omni. Bedford, Pennsylvania is just the greatest little town. I mean, it's been so cool. And then we're ending our ride at the Homestead this year. So it is only 1,400 miles, but we're spending a lot of time seeing stuff that we've never seen before. In between all those, we're going to be stopping to get fuel and have fan events everywhere. So go to the website. Myself will be there. My dad's coming in. Kenny Schrader. Kenny Wallace, Herschel McGriff, Herschel McGriff's 96, and he's going to be riding his trike. My dad's 87. He's riding his trike. So I should call this the Hall of Fame tour. So anyhow, so we're going to be, they'll be signing autographs, taking pictures, all that stuff.
Didn't Harry Gant go on a bunch of these?
Harry went on a lot of them, and Harry quit riding probably about a year and a half ago. He called me one day, and we talked about it. I went up and sat with him for a while, and he went for like 26, 27 years in a row. Yeah, he was the guy we followed. He and Don Tilley from the very, very beginning. They led almost every ride until Don passed and then until Harry retired.
And the money raised goes to?
It goes to Victory Junction. We built a water park. We are the one of the founding members of Victory Junction is the Kyle Petty Charity Ride, obviously, and we built a water park there. We just reconstructed after 20 years a brand new water park at Victory Junction. Just opened last summer. The kids had a blast. So most years we donate somewhere in the neighborhood from $1 million to $1.5 million, depends on what we raise, to Victory Junction to send kids to camp for free.
Is there anybody on the ride that has been on all 29 years?
Myself, Lynn Sherrill. Lynn Sherrill has been on all 29. Lynn Sherrill was working on and building cars for Felix Sabatis at Sabco when I started, and Lynn has continued. He was our motorcycle mechanic. When we'd break down, Lynn would put it back together. Daryl Andrews, DA. DA worked for Junior Johnson, worked with Kale, worked with those guys. We're about the only two or three left, and myself. We're about the only two or three left. There were 10 of us at one time, and we lost Eddie Gossage this year and lost John Manafort. Those guys had been on most of them, so... we lost a couple more riders this year, but it's cool. There's not many, but surprisingly, there's a group of about 10 or 15 that have been on about 20 or 25 rides.
That's pretty impressive. Well, wish you the best. Great weather this
year.
Raise a lot of money, and you do marvelous things at Victory Junction.
Oh, thank you very much.
We
God bless you guys.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
I will take a break. We'll come back with one last thing.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them. The ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmie Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmie Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention. Very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row? Nobody's done five in a row.
Had a fun show up to this point, so let's wrap it up with this little ditty.
One last thing.
Kyle Petty, KP, let's start with you.
Oh my goodness. And you always come to me. So, you know, my
eventually.
My one last thing is, and I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna be self-serving here with my one last thing. You know, 29 years we've been doing this charity ride. We started it, and it was for all personal reasons. We just wanted to ride motorcycles. Harry Gantt was part of that. We just wanted to ride motorcycles from California to North Carolina. When we told people we wanted to do it, they told us we were idiots. When we told them we were going to do it for charity, they all gave us a thumbs up and said, you guys are heroes. Let's do it for charity. You know what I mean? And here we are 29 years later, and it still fascinates me after 29 years that this thing is still going. But I think about the fans that have come out and that have touched our lives. Not that we've touched, that have touched our lives. The kids that we've met along the way whose parents have sent them to camp. We've seen over 125,000 kids at camp in the 20 years that camp has been open. And it's amazing, and I use this as an example, and I use camp as an example. When people think you want to change something or you want to do something, and it's so big and it's so great that you can't do it. I can't do this alone. Don't worry about doing it alone. Just raise your hand. And there's enough people out there that will say, Doug, I like what you're doing. I'll help you. Let me help you. Because none of us do this by ourselves. The charity ride doesn't happen by itself. Camp doesn't happen by itself. So God bless all the people who are willing to follow along and help us make dreams come true for these kids.
Good luck. Thanks a lot. That's
very well said. Yes, very well said. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of being at Bristol Motor Speedway, one of the first races I've traveled to in quite some time. And although there were, you know, certainly lots of famous drivers and things like that going around the garage area, there was somebody else there that was holding court most of the day. And that was Baseball Hall of Famer Johnny Bench from the Cincinnati Reds. I was with our Rob Albright, who's one of our turn announcers, who told me he was nervous to talk to Johnny because he was one of his heroes. It was very cool to kind of see him holding court, obviously there to promote the Speedway Classic, the Atlanta Braves against Cincinnati Reds on August 2nd. If you have the opportunity to go to that, I think it's going to be an amazing event. Be sure to get your tickets.
Applause to the folks at Bristol Motor Speedway for taking on tasks that they don't have to do. They had the great football game between Virginia Tech and Tennessee. That was a monstrous success. I think this baseball game will be just the same. To our folks running the show behind the glass, David Stiles and Kent Bernhardt, thank you guys. You're the best. Kyle Petty, Alexis Erickson, I'm Doug Rice. Back next week, you know what, with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.